Hello and welcome to the Houston Vineyard Podcast. We sincerely hope that this message is a blessing to you. Enjoy.
Well, good morning. Good morning. It's good to see all of you here. I know this is a Memorial Day weekend, and you know, glad to see all of you here. Thank you so much, Diana, for introducing us, and also to good morning to those who are in the air, in the internet. We are kind of used to that now. Well, thank you so much, Pastor Josh, for giving us the honor of speaking today. Yeah, things have changed so much and so much shaking in the past 2 years. Finally, we are able to come and visit Jonathan and Rachel and the boys. We are so glad to see all the changes around here. Whew, this looks really nice and refreshing. And the widescreen too, fantastic.
Well, am I on? The worship has changed. 2.5 years ago was our last visit, but we felt like presence of God is so strong and it's refreshing. Even in the midst of all the things that is going on in this land, in the midst of grief, in the midst of loss, and here we are proclaiming, speaking the truth that is unending. And we so appreciate Houston Vineyard Church, Pastor Josh and Deanna, and all of you here for hanging in there. Not just like, but Jesus is our victorious King. And Amen. He is here. Yes. And we continue on with faith. And this is so wonderful just to be with you guys.
Well, my heart leapt when I attended church 2 Sundays ago and see that you are right in the midst of this series on Hesed. And that is the covenantal love of God. And the one thing that we are sharing today is on covenant. Well, I'm so glad to hear. Well, this is a covenant, has that love of God that brought us together. Jesus, who has given his life so that we can be in covenant relationship with God. And then secondly, our relationship as a married couple is covenant. That's why I asked my wife to be speaking together with me, because this is what we normally do when we are training couples and teaching them about the power of covenant in their marriage life together. And lastly, in this whole thing about covenant, God gives us such power and also purpose, because we are now in a relationship as sons and daughters with our Almighty God, Father God.
So we are here, and we want to say, we want to bring greetings from Singapore and Asia Pacific. Many of them are praying for Houston Vineyard Church just because we are here sharing, you know, one thing that is close to our hearts and many hearts in Singapore and Asia Pacific. But we want to tell you, we want to honor every one of you here and everyone that is, you know, speaking the word of God. We have been beneficiary. And today when we come back here, we are just echoing the foundations of faith, the foundation stone that the fathers of faith has laid right before we even know them, before many of you know them. We just echo it, but in this era, how do we apply the foundations of faith in this area of covenant?
Let me start by just sharing with you my personal story, how I encountered God in this covenant relationship. I was born in a Christian home, baptized as an infant, attended Sunday church every Sunday. We were there. But I got bored and then dropped out. However, at the age of 13, I pondered about what's life all about. I looked into my life. I need to study hard, pass my exams, get a good job and a wife, and then have children, grow old, and then die. What's the point of all this? What's the point of all the struggles that comes along with it? However, I was afraid because when I die, I knew I'll just go to hell. So I prayed to Jesus to give me salvation, and that I thought this was a good insurance policy. Yet, I was not sure. Then, at the end of my high school day, my classmate invited me to a Bible camp. And the speaker was sharing about the story of Elijah and Elisha and how Elijah saw the miraculous power in Elijah's life and won a double portion of it. I was inspired. However, I came from a very traditional conservative church. We hardly hear anything about the Holy Spirit. I only hear about Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. So whatever they were doing, I was not really comfortable at all. However, I knew there was something there I was lacking. I was challenged to accept Jesus, not just as a Savior but who will give me eternal life and I can go to heaven, but one who is the Lord, as He is God, Master of my life. I struggled because I wanted still control of my own life. When I finally gave in, the Lord came in a prayer meeting. The Holy Spirit just came in and filled me. I was just weeping and laughing at the same time. You can do that, actually. And I was speaking in tongues. Oh. But my life changed. Suddenly, I felt the nearness of God's love. I felt such a presence, a spiritual presence I had ever had before. There was a hunger and thirst for Him. There was a boldness, a love for people around me. I didn't have the words at that time to describe what happened to me. But now I know this is coming into a covenant relationship with God. This is what the Bible calls a new covenant, where I'm now born as a son of God. I'm a new creation. And I have no longer be lost in what I'm trying to be. I have a purpose in my life and God's power in the Holy Spirit in my life.
Well, similar to mine, my covenant story is very similar but yet different. I'm a fourth generation Christian. My great-grandma was the first of the 10 women that went to a mission school started by a German missionaries. And from there, she knew Christ and shared, and she became a preacher and an evangelist around, you know, her neighborhood, her village, and the villages around. Now, this was activated or triggered with exponential speed because of one small testimony. They have a cow in the farm that was sick. Their three sons had to pray. Well, it's two out of the three. Sons had to pray for the healing of the cow so that work can go on. And God healed the cow with a fart. You know, when the cow is sick, the stomach grows. Oh my gosh. That news went round. Jesus healed the cow with a fart. But that was where the gospel was shared. And everybody said, wow, this Jesus is for real. And the villagers just, you know, one by one became a Christian. So even up to today, people will go there and visit that small village and the house and the school to know the history and the foundation. So I was born in that kind of family. I go to church, infant baptized, regular Sunday school girl, you know, ever kind of like faithful, singing the choir, but I have no real encounter with Jesus. I thought there was Jesus and life. Until a grumpy old, not old, young then, she was grumpy, aggressive, and always unhappy classmate in my high school. And she changed. And I said, what happened to you? And she said, Jesus changed me. I said, huh? well, I thought I know Jesus, but wait a minute, you never know Jesus that much, you know. And that caused me to search for that transformative Jesus. And it has to be a relationship that I didn't have. I thought I'd go to church and that's it. But I asked Jesus to come to my life in the quietness of my balcony in the kitchen one day. You know, I kind of like, Jesus, I want to really know you. And it was a peace I've never really known before. And that was my born again experience. Later on, a few months later, I was still hungry for more. And then the Holy Spirit filled me. I was filled with hunger and curiosity and full of hunger for the Word. And not just reading about books, but for the Word, you know. And up to today, I'm still hungry for the truth and revelation of God. So that was my covenant story and journey with Jesus.
In the past, the word covenant was a rather archaic word that I had little understanding about. All I know that is that, yes, there is a covenant that God has for us, as we find in the Bible. Now, what has really helped me was when I got married, I understood a bit better about covenant through a marriage relationship, which is a covenant. And in turn, I was able to have this covenant relationship reflect about the covenant relationship that I have with God Himself. So, I used to think that covenants are basically contract, maybe a stronger form of contract, because it's sealed by an oath or a vow. But my Christian lawyer friend, who taught me and gave me clarity, there's a significant difference between the two. First, in a covenant is unilateral. That means one way. God, who is the stronger party in this covenant relationship, offers to me, the weaker party, certain terms and conditions. I, as a weaker party, has a choice of either accepting it or rejecting it. It's as simple as that. There's no terms of negotiation of the terms. However, in a contract, it's bilateral. That means two parties come as equal to negotiate the terms of what each one wants from the contract. An example could be when you have a contractor who wants to do some renovation in your home. You have a contractual agreement. You find out what you want and what the cost and the timing and what is to be done. Secondly, in a covenant relationship, it is to bless. It's God who is promised to fulfill the terms that He has for me. Whereas in a covenant, in a contract relationship, it is to protect my rights, my expectations on what is. So if there is such thing as contractual agreement, and we'll keep to that. Thirdly, in a covenant, there is no such thing as a time limit. It goes on until one party dies. Then it's gone. The contract, our covenant is gone. But a contract is dependent upon us being able to fulfill the contract relation terms and conditions. So if one party negates on the terms, that's it. The relationship is severed. And this is really revelationary to me to understand my covenant relationship with God. Because God has brought in this relationship that I am able to now know I'm secure in it because it's God who is the covenant maker and the covenant keeper for me. In the same way, in our marriage relationship, it's no longer a 50-50 relationship. Well, you do your part, I'll do my part, and that's fine. But it's 100% commitment on both us, ourselves. So it is not something that I want to have so that I can make sure I'll protect my rights. And also, the other thing is that this is lifelong. It's no longer just if things happen, you don't do your part, too bad, I'm out here.
So, 10 years into our marriage, my covenant understanding was also being tested. It was a weary time with three boys in our married life. So I began to slide into what I now understood, as Tim mentioned, a contract thinking. Well, it's an easy route to take because I can't take any more tensions, can't take any more nonsense, and I'll just say, whatever he wants to do, let him be. I'll do my thing, let him do his thing. So that was just to cope. And there was no fellowship, or we call it heart-to-heart connections, not as much as, you know, when we started. It almost feels like things are getting stale, just that busy with life, you know, busy with kids, busy with things, busy with traveling, busy with work, busy with projects, demands, da-da-da. Well, I used to think that if my marriage doesn't work, maybe I can get out and get on with my life. You know, even though my mom did say, my late mom say, when you get married, that was her word, don't ever think of divorce. Well, my late mom was speaking from a Chinese heart. It is a failure if you divorce. It's a shame to divorce. That was her heart. So you stick through it thick and thin. Suffer through it thick and thin. That's the Chinese heart. And that's a Chinese woman's heart. And I was like, oh, okay. Okay, okay. But, you know, 10 years in, I'm not so sure. This lonely suffering is like sheer human strength just to cope. And I don't think I want that kind of life. There's not much thing about walking with that loving Father God that I know that give me peace, give me rest. It's only happening in church, but not at home. Well, on the other hand, I remember during university in Scotland, oh my gosh, our, you know, girls in the pharmacy faculty, we talk about women's rights. No one can make us unhappy. We better take care of our life. If anyone makes us unhappy, especially if our husband makes us unhappy, get out. Don't waste your time. I thought that was good. You know why? It's quite practical. Yeah, I can get on with life. But then I took a compromise. Maybe I'll just use the word divorce just to wake him up, you know. But with no intention of getting out because I fear the word from my mother. You know, that kind of ding-donging. And I don't want to suffer in silent pain, right? So maybe, okay, everything that doesn't work, okay, let's divorce. And I carried on. Just to wake him up, he kind of like wake up, you know, but life goes on. And I didn't know until I had the covenant revelation that I was using my mouth to curse a covenant marriage. I didn't know. I was such a sweet girl. I don't curse. But I was cursing. Every time I used that word lightly or loosely, just to get his attention, actually, I was using it like a stab in his heart. And I had to repent. I said, oh God, forgive me. You were not like that. And you don't do that to me. I'm doing that to him. You don't hurt. You don't break our hearts. You love us even though we break God's heart. And so that was my journey of saying that, God, what is this abundance of marriage covenant that people talk about? I don't understand. And this word actually came from America, from the fathers of faith. And I was searching. Is it for real? Or is it just suffering in shame and quietness like the Chinese women and wives? So my journey carried on because I said, God, if you're a covenant who's steadfast and you are loving and you are kind, surely there is loving kindness in the home. Surely there's steadfastness. So I started to sow with that faith. I said, you promised it. I will just go for it. Jesus, you prayed in John chapter 17 for oneness, for your disciples. Hey, what did John chapter 17 verse 24 says? Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. Oh, wow. My marriage covenant can be a glory to God. Wait a minute. No. I'm going to hide in all the horrible darkness and the fights we have. It doesn't bring glory. But wait a minute, Jesus said that. He's not just praying for the disciples that is always scrubbing. He's also saying to the one flesh commitment that I had, that he declared that when man and woman become one, they are one flesh. They are one. Oh, wait a minute, one. Jesus prayed for it, surely he will answer. And that was my journey, that I said, God, I want my marriage to give glory to you. And of course, Jesus, the groom, is coming back for his beautiful bride, the church. Wow, you're using us as a symbolic reminder. Jesus is coming back. Hey, Jesus is coming back. Let's continue to grow, be beautiful for Jesus. Let's continue to hang in there with the victories that God has already given to us. And that's why I'm so glad that Houston Vineyard Church, it sounds like you are expanding your household, your family, to many more to come in. Like Noah's Ark. We've got shelter. Come on. You know, come on in. It's a bit messy with the animals all around. But come on. We are here with the little children running up. But we are here. And I love that. And that's because many of you are families who hung in there. And I know that that is the fragrance and the aroma of Christ that will go out, not just in Texas, but in America and in South America and in Asia Pacific. We believe whatever you do will make impact in the world. Why? Because Abraham was given a mandate. In you, all the families will be blessed. Genesis 12:3. In you. Could you turn to your spouse, if not your friend? Your friends. In you. All the families will be blessed. It's not about in you, I'm not married. Wait a minute. No. In you, everyone who is in covenant relationship with Jesus, you will be a blessing. And that is the statement that hung on for this family of ours.
So covenant bring blessings. I just want to summarize it in three forms. It brings blessings because Jesus said so. It says, well, I'm going to quote the scriptures here. It's better, right? Matthew chapter 19, verse 6. When Jesus was tested about, is there any condition for divorce? This is what Jesus said. The two shall no longer be two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no man separate. This is covenant talking. Jesus says, when you are one, we have a new identity, a one flesh. And the second thing is the word join. The word join is interesting because it has a root word of yoke. And in our cultural background, they understand of yoke of two oxen being joined together, plowing the field in the same direction. So when we are yoked together, there is a purpose for us. Together. That no one else can be doing together. And also, I know that when we are also united together in unity, there is great power. And in Matthew chapter 18, verse 18, again it says that God says, when I tell you whatever you bind on earth will be bound on earth in heaven. And whatever you lose on earth will be loose on heaven. Such power God has put together when we are united, seeking to do God's will in our lives. We are not just, hey, we try to do our best and say some nice words. No, you are powerful. You are a blessing to all the families of the world because you have given the power of the Holy Spirit in you and in prayer to do mighty works for God.
So in the same way, the husband and wife is a team, actually. So, oh, how convenient. My gosh, I didn't know that. I've been married, and all the time I thought it was suffering, you know. Yeah, because I've heard somebody say, what? When you have the engagement ring, wonderful. When you have the marriage ring, it's suffering. But that is a lie. That was a lie. I thought that was suffering because from the Chinese, you know, mandate, kind of like, you just suffer through it all. Even in China, there was a couple, they are preachers. Every morning, they'll go out wherever God asks them to. And then they'll be preaching and preaching. And then when they come home, they'll be fighting and striving. And they thought that was suffering for Christ. And they didn't know that. I didn't know that there's such a story until when we share, covenant brings blessing. There is peace in here. There is peace in his heart, so is my heart. Together, peace. Power of peace. We form the ark. And then, you know what they say? Oh my gosh, in Chinese, the Satan has deceived me. I have been lied into. I thought this was really suffering for Christ because the next day we will go and preach all the more. And when we fight at home, that's fine. But that was a lie. And so sometimes our, we call it ideologies and human wisdoms for us, have been challenged as well because, you know, we are university grads. I mean, some master graduates and what PhDs, you are wonderful. We are just undergrads, okay? And we carry on with work. But we learn to be smart and we learn to, you know, reason with human wisdom. But it has helped us when we say, go back to the Word of God. Does this ideology and human wisdom lines up with the Word of God? So when we say it's a team of two, wait a minute, yes, in the Word of God. In Genesis 2:15, it says, God put Adam in the garden and told Adam, tend the garden. Simple, animals and garden. But whoa, in Genesis 1:28, when Eve was brought to Adam, they were newly married couple, the first ever newly married couple. They had a one flesh mandate, and what is that? God blessed them and said, be fruitful, increase in number, fill the earth, subdue it. Whoa, wait a minute. When two is together, there is synergistic power, not just add one and one equals two, but subdue, bind and loose, release, stop with the keys of David, together. Because when two gathers together, you know, in church, in a household, when two or three are gathered in my name, Jesus is there and he will release all that he wants to do. And so we are a prayer meeting all the time. Anytime. When the kids yell and when the kids, we don't know what's happening. I mean, we had a few incidents when we came to US. We thought, what's happening to, you know, the kids? They are crying when we arrive. They don't cry that loud. But when we arrive, and Rachel will say, I think there's something about the air. Okay, let's just pray and, you know, just whatever darkness, the fear, just be gone. And then I still remember there was one time, Matthias, you have the Lion of Judah in your heart, just roar each time you are fearful. And he would say, roar, the Lion of Judah. That was when he was maybe 2 years old. But the Spirit will catch it because we have victory in Christ.
This morning, as we are talking about covenant, I just want to ask, what is Father God trying to do for us here? Father God wants to have a relationship with us. And not just any relationship as someone who's far away, but a personal, an intimate relationship. That's why he created man. He had a son who he enjoyed. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, they were one. But he wanted more. That's why he got man in his image, so that he can have this relationship. And it's not just any relationship. It's a covenant relationship. It's an intimate relationship. It's a relationship that he promised to give us identity, power, purpose. In the same way, in this marriage relationship that God has for you who are married, it's not just so that you can have this time to express your love. It's more than that. There's a certain power as you get together. There's a certain purpose that's unique because God has different talents, different experience, different resources given to you that only you can fulfill as a couple. What is it?
So at this point, we just want to share with you what covenant does, even for any couples or for singles in their journey of wholeness, how God can release you and make impact. This 3-minute video is from Ken and Angel.
Yep, Ken is someone we have known since they were singles. And we walked through them because they had very little faith in marriage. And then God just has found about the covenant message of marriage. And they have now been a blessing to so many other couples. So we just want to view this short video and be blessed by that.
They're
just
here.
A fruit of all that.
And we're
going to
jump on and just really share our marriage life. And July, we've been married for 10 years, 2 children, Leah, Noah, and Rima. We can just share about where we come from, how life has really just helped us on our marriage journey. So, for myself, my mom was actually diagnosed with schizophrenia. It was really tough. I remember I grew up with a very distorted view of, and I remember, I think maybe about 7 or 8, just making a promise to myself. I said, like, if not, then, you know, I don't want anything to do with it. And so that put a lot of fear in me, marriage. And for as long as I can remember, even just growing up into my early adult years, commitment was never commit. And I was afraid that whatever I saw happen, I was afraid that, you know, I might.
So my family history is not too different from Ken. I grew up in a family line of divorce. And my grandparents are divorced, my parents are divorced, my brother is divorced, and in my mother, out of 7 siblings, 5 of them are divorced, and only 2 are married. This is kind of seems a bit of a historical pattern in our story. And I didn't remember growing up without a father, and that has really put a hole in my heart. Especially with the relationship. Even meeting Ken and all that, the process through that, it was about one, and there's a lot of pressure and a lot of confusion that he was the right one for me. And considering the fact that he was from quite a broken family lineage as well, so both broken people coming together, healing in the process, healing in terms of our own individual identities and our history, and also coming together as a couple, how do we put to much and make sure that it's one beautiful thing under
the somber, I think, truths about premarital counseling was that there's no back door. Like, as we sat through the course, modeled in front of us, healthy marriage and God's perspective, it was like a bucket, you know, over on that, and I then had the courage to just propose, and we've been married for, we're still counting on God's grace every day. So I guess what we want to say is that, you know, God, like, He can tell you your personal narrative, where you come from. It's not going to determine what the future is going to be. Christ, He really writes a different story. And for our family, we're playing on to as a vision statement, I guess it's more like a Bible verse, like Proverbs 3:4. Ready? Heart and lean on your own understanding. Hi everybody, this is Ken and Angel.
I'd just like to invite the worship team, please, to come out at this stage. Thank you. It's great to see how this couple has been transformed from one who said it's hopeless, we don't know what to do, to now being able to be a blessing to many. And I believe that is what God has for us, each one of us.
And in Habakkuk 2:2, it says, write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. We just have this time of reflection with Father God again, because I just felt like some of you have flashes and thoughts and reminders of some purposes and dreams that you had that you have forgotten and left behind. And especially with the pandemic, it's like, oh, it's all gone. But we just bring it up, revisit it with Father God, and let Him envision you again. Or you may be unsure of God's assignment and purposes because it is impossible. Or you may be married and kind of like wearied like us at our 11th year, lost every vision and dreams, but asking God, what is your vision and assignment for us today? With together with the community here, what do we bring so that we can be a refreshing people?
Well, as a practical step, I would like you to suggest for you to just write down, ask God, ask Papa God, what is your purpose for me? And have it written down, be it in a notebook or an electronic device, just have it written down. Because when you do so, you can look at it, review, ponder over it, and even Father God will just add even more things on it. However, as I was praying this morning, I felt there's some of you who are maybe like us. We have been just coming to church faithfully every Sunday. It's great, the worship team, great music, and you enjoy it. But you really felt there's nothing really there for you. You don't hear what God is saying for you. You really don't really know that you have actually, you are actually a son of God or a daughter of God. That's maybe because you have not come into a personal encounter and accepted Jesus as your Lord, as your Master, as your Savior. You have not invited Him. You have not given Him, acknowledged Him. But whoever who trusts in Him and believes in Him, He gives us a grace to become His children, children of God. There's an invitation this morning. If that's you, you want to hear from Him, you want to know Him, He wants to know you, He wants to speak to you.
Thank you. Speak to us, Papa God. We sit at your place and we thank you for your open arms. We are here, Papa God.
Lord, I thank you for my brothers and sisters here this morning, that they are very special before you, unique. And Lord, you have called them out. You have chosen them so that they will know you and you will know them. Father God, I thank you that you have also given us each a purpose, a unique assignment for us, that our lives will count. Our lives makes a difference in this time here on earth. So Lord, I ask for you to speak clearly to them. And for those who still do not know you, maybe even just one or two, Lord, I ask for your grace, your mercy, the Holy Spirit to convict, open their hearts to say, today is the day. I want to know you. I want to acknowledge you as a Master, as Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your mercy. Your grace is sufficient for us. In Jesus' name pray. Amen.
Stand, and we're going to respond in worship. We're going to sing this song, that He is our King. He's this king seated among us. But this morning as I was driving up here and I was praying for our times, and I just thought of, I didn't even know what they were going to talk about, but I thought of him as our, we are the bride of Christ. He is our groom. And just him embracing us this morning as we've been carrying all kinds of things. We all have our stuff going on. But he is this beautiful bride, this Jesus. And we as a collective are, we are his bride, and he loves us so deeply. And just, he is just taking you in his arms. He just wants to take you in his arms. So let's just, we're going to sing with that visual of being in his embrace. And there is a king seated among us. Let every heart receive him now. Where there is praise, he will inhabit. And there will be grace and mercy all around. And every burden will be lifted in his presence. Every trophy will be laid down at his feet. And there is a name that reigns above all others. Jesus Christ, the King above all kings. Unto the Lamb. And unto the Lamb, honor and glory. Worthy is he who overcame. Buried in shame, we're buried in shame, but risen in power. He is alive, he is alive, and the stone is rolled away. And all our worship will belong to him forever. Death is conquered, and our Savior holds the key. There is a name that reigns above all others. Jesus Christ, the King above all kings. It won't be long, and it won't be long. We will behold him, and every tear he'll wipe away. We'll be at home, the war will be over. Soon we will meet our Savior face to face, and every burden will be lifted in his presence. Every trophy will be laid down at his feet. There is a name that reigns above all others. Jesus Christ, the King above all kings. All our worship and all our worship will belong to him forever. Holy, holy, for all eternity. Yours is the name that reigns above all others. Jesus Christ, the King above all kings. Oh, Jesus Christ, the King above all kings.
As I was walking in this morning, okay, good. I thought I lost that. I did lose it. Megan recovered it, the prayer. As I was walking in this morning, I was impacted because the Lord's presence is so strong. And I was reminded that when evil abounds, grace abounds ever the more, much farther, much wider. And Mr. and Mrs. Tan spoke about covenant. God made a covenant unto himself with us. And I just believe that the Holy Spirit and his outpouring in this place will be so strong that you don't need words. Holy Spirit presence is witnessing to you in your heart that he is real more than ever. And that what this world needs is to know that we are loved by God. That no matter where you are, who you are, what place of life you find yourself in, God's grace and his love is all surrounding you. So come to him. Come to him. There are prayer things this morning, and there's going to be a prayer team, or people are going to be on the sides. And if you need somebody to pray with, they're going to be there for you. And I think Megan has some specific things for you.
Yeah, so a couple of the things that came from the folks who prayed early. From Psalm 27, there's a verse that says, though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. So if you're struggling with that identity as a son or a daughter of God, it was also mentioned in the message this morning, come and get prayer. A couple of physical healing things, the right calf or pain in the left knee. Also wrote down a couple of items that were just mentioned. If there are dreams that you feel stirred to begin to revisit, let us pray for you. If you are feeling weary in marriage, as a single person, whatever you are, if that weariness is just feeling heavy today, let us pray for you. And if you're struggling, if you didn't think you could write down that asking God, well, what is your purpose for me? If you want someone to pray with you about purpose, about identity, I would encourage you to stay and get prayer today before you head out. There's a lot on the list, but I think there's just a lot that God is doing. And so we want to pray for you.
Yes. God is doing something in your life. The Spirit is moving you to repentance, moving you towards his heart. You can fight it. You can struggle, but he will keep on. My advice would be surrender. Surrender. Doesn't matter. Surrender. Let him do his job in your life. And as you do that this week, this is our prayer.
May the living God,
que el Dios vivo,
creator of all the heavens and the earth,
creador del cielo y de la tierra,
may he richly bless you and keep you.
Que él te bendiga y te guarde.
May he make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you.
Que él haga su rostro resplandecer sobre ti y te dé su gracia.
May he smile on you and fill you with his peace.
Que Dios mismo te sonría y te dé su paz.
You have been and continue to be extravagantly loved by the Father.
Has sido siempre y sigue siendo hoy extravagantemente amado por tu Padre Celestial.
Go do the same.
Ve y haz lo mismo. Have a great week of worship. Happy Memorial Day, and we'll see you here next Sunday. Bye-bye.